This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Lockdowns around the world have boosted the gaming industry into new levels, while in reality we practice physical distancing. It's quite the opposite in the gaming world. On the show with me today is Quentin States-Pole. He's the General Manager for India and Southeast Asia for Epic Games, makers of Fortnite and creators of the Unreal Engine, about how the gaming industry could help pioneer a shift in other sectors. Quentin, perhaps a little bit about yourself and what you do at Epic Games.
Right, so my name is Quentin States-Pole and I run both Southeast Asia and South Asia, India, for Epic Games, and in particular the business around the Unreal engine, that technology business.
So tell me a little bit about Epic Games. Now, for most of the gamers, they would definitely, you know the brand Epic Games. It's probably a household name now with the consumer fronts, with, you know, I guess your AAA titles. You've got, you know, things like Unreal Tournament, you've got Fortnite. But then also in the back end, you know, most gamers would probably also heard of Epic Games with the Unreal Engine. So tell me a little bit about how, I guess, you know, the business of Epic Games evolved into these two different space, you know, where it's supporting the gaming industry and it's also promoting games to the customers directly.
Right. So we basically have two major divisions. One is our publishing division, which publish Fortnite, the largest game in the world with over 350 million registered users, and other games also. We have a long history. The company is over 20 years old, so we have a long history of hits. And recently, we have also, in the same division, we have also launched the Epic Game Store, which is a PC game store with other games and, you know, basically third-party games that we select and we curate. The other part of our business is our software business. And fundamentally, that's around the Unreal Engine. And what is Unreal Engine? Unreal Engine is the technology that's underlying Fortnite. And we've been developing our own game engine, which is fundamentally, if you want, an editorial system that allows you to create games. We've been developing it. Our CEO wrote the first line of codes of this many, many years ago, and we've been developing it for our games for a very long time. And in the last few years, we've released that code for the game engine for other game company to use it to build their own game. We have over 500 games that have been built in on Unreal Engine, including big titles like PUBG, Civilizations, and a lot of other games in the market. And so what we do there is we license our software to game company. They build game and they release them. What's been super interesting is that over the last 4 or 5 years, people have started to use this outside of gaming. So when you build a technology that needs to support real-time interaction between, 100 players, if you look at the case of Fortnite, across network, across platform, right? You can play Fortnite on all the console, PCs, and phones, and you can cross-play between those platforms. And also, a lot of those platforms, have started to evolve into, using AR and VR. And so since the emergence of this, we've seen more and more other industries incorporate real-time, what we call real-time rendering, which is, the fact that you are basically inside an environment, and as you move to the environment, the images of this environment are produced in real time for you, and as well as all the other underlying things that make a game great, like physics and lighting, etc. So this real time technology that has been developed for fundamentally for game is finding a lot of application in other industries. It could be filmmaking, it could be engineering. Basically, all the creative processes that can be affected by the use of AR, VR, or can be helped by using those collaborative real-time tools. And we can talk more in detail about those. So that business has been growing very fast for us as well. And it is underlying the long-term vision of the company, which is all about the metaverse.
So that's interesting, right? Because it has definitely made the gaming sector a lot more mature from the eyes of just the general public. Because gaming has always had this cloud of perception that, you know, it's a waste of time and, you know, kids should not be gaming that much, et cetera, et cetera. But yet, I think, you know, over the last number of years, we've seen that shift now. Is it because of, you know, like you said, the back end of gaming is now being used to, you know, empower different kinds of industry verticals? Like, you know, we've seen you know, VR tools and stuff being used for healthcare and being used for upskilling, reskilling in all different kinds of sectors.
That's right. And so I think, you know, the evolution of perception of gaming is a mix of things. It can't be tied to one single factor. What you mentioned, the fact that game technology is becoming much more credible, is definitely one of them. But it's also that games have evolved. They've become much richer in the way of the experience. They've become much more immersive. And slowly, the industry has gained importance, like you were mentioning at the beginning of our chat. And so it's becoming a credible business to be involved in, both financially and over the long term. It's not perceived anymore as generally as, you know, just a kid pastime, et cetera. So what's really interesting, though, is that people, you know, that have been in the game creation ecosystem are now finding their skills in high demand across industries. So that's also changed the perception that now people think that if they learn how to make games, well, they have many different job options, not necessarily just in the game industry. Mm.
So let's talk about gaming in the year 2020 with COVID-19 pandemic. What kind of shifts have you seen? Because everyone was, you know, at one point of time was just staying at home. I'm pretty sure gaming had a lot of benefits during this pandemic.
Well, what we've seen is definitely, you know, people have more time and they have more time to spend at home. So we've seen an increase of engagement from our users, obviously, across the board. We don't generally share numbers as a policy in the company, but definitely, you know, we've seen an increase. And we've seen also, you know, the medium become very important in terms of keeping people and friends connected. And we take that responsibility very seriously. You know, Fortnite, our game, is a very safe environment. We try to make sure that there's no bullying, you know, that there's some good standard of behavior. And so in an environment like this, in a situation in the new normal we're living, you know, it actually provides a lot of social support for kids to stay in contact with their friend, to work, to stay connected, etc. We've also we take this responsibility quite seriously. So we've tried to diversify what we provide. And just from, you know, the big success initially from Fortnite is around the Battle Royale game. And we've added different game mode recently. A while ago, we have added Fortnite Creative, which allow people to build their own set and use a bunch of template to actually create their own environment and then use them to play. But people have been using this and starting to do things that we were not expecting, like running workshop or teaching students inside that Fortnite creative environment, because there's a lot of tools that they can actually use. They can bring 100 people together in the same place and then start interacting together. So we've seen, some interesting use of games that are a little bit outside of games. We've also released, Party Island. After doing a concert inside the game, Travis Scott, that was an interesting success. And it's again all in line with our vision of, the metaverse going up, and we're trying to experiment and show that 3D immersive environment can be the place where a lot of other things than gaming happen. And you know, after the release of Party Island, we've been pushing things like DJ events. We've been 2 weeks ago we showed movies inside the game. So we had three Christopher Nolan movies that showed up. So you could go inside the game and then watch the movie in 4K. So we basically, trying to expand and push the boundaries of gaming to beyond its traditional era.
I'm speaking to Quentin States-Pole of Epic Games, and we'll continue in just a bit to talk about the marketing shifts in the gaming sector. BFM 89.9.
Breathe freely, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Tech Talk with me, Jeff Sandu, and today I'm speaking to Quentin States-Pole of Epic Games, and we're talking about the shifts in the gaming sector. Quentin, earlier on we spoke about the shifts you've seen during this pandemic, but there's also been an impact on the marketing side of things, as now, you know, we're seeing brands and even filmmakers who are keen to work with gaming companies like yourselves.
That's right. So, on the technology side, so we have a couple of philosophical points maybe that's worth underlining at Epic, is that we are very careful about our customer data and privacy. And so we do not, unlike other companies, we do not rely on the advertising model business. And we've as a philosophy, we will not share our customer data with brands, and we will not allow the ad-based business model. That said, we believe that the value we bring to users is quality content, and so making people pay for content like they would pay to go to the movie or to that we are very comfortable with. Our business is to provide experience and content to our users. Extract revenue from there when possible, not to make our customer a product. When we get outside of gaming, and that's probably what you refer to, and there's plenty of opportunities for association with brands. So you may have seen that Jon Favreau, for instance, used Unreal Engine technology to shoot The Mandalorian, that Star Wars TV series that's on Disney Network there. And so we supported them to use that technology, and we can talk a bit later after on how that technology is used to change the way people are actually making movie. Because we had the relationship with them, we discussed about how to bring Star Wars inside Fortnite, and that's why you had an event last year where we brought the Baby Yoda and all those elements and some outfits and some weapons from the Star Wars franchise inside Fortnite. So again, bringing quality content inside the game and relying most on that to do monetization for both companies.
You know, I just want to stick a little bit with Fortnite as a game itself, because it's no longer a game. In a way, it is a pop culture phenomenon because you've got, musicians, you've got movie stars, you've got a whole bunch of, references in movies as well about, Fortnite as a game. What do you think made it so appeal to the current generation?
Oh, that's hard to say. I'm not a very young man, So I guess the social aspect of it, right, is a big thing on which I believe a lot, is the fact that people want to hang out together online. I mean, digital natives, that's the place they want to hang. And if you provide them with a rich environment in which to hang, in which they have the freedom and the safety that they need, I guess that's what makes it exciting for people. But what we're trying to show there is really what we believe is the future will look like is the metaverse, right? And the metaverse for us is just think very high level. Think about the internet, but in 3D and immersive. So all of those businesses that are on the internet, you know, you interfacing today with a flat screen, with 2D type of environment, at best with video, but it's not super interactive and it's not immersive. And so we believe that, you know, the internet evolution, natural next evolution, is to become a 3D immersive environment. And so what we're trying to do is to demonstrate that, you know, the game technologies are an important part of how this will shape up in the future.
You know, in some ways, Fortnite has also, some would say, given birth to, you know, popular streamers or YouTubers. And there's a variety of them that are now, I guess, making a career out of, you know, live streaming. Did you foresee some of this happening? And you know, during the launch of Fortnite as well, was this something that you predicted would happen? Or were you expecting something like this? Was the goal to reach, you know, a popularity success like this, where it's, you know, now it's become a phenomenon, but also, you know, most individuals that I know are planning to, or at least trying to be, you know, esports or, you know, live streamers.
So, you know, first thing is I've only been with the company for a year, so I can't really comment on what was the plan originally on Fortnite. But what I would say is that culture of streamers, although it didn't have the scales it has today, existed in the past and has been popular for gaming for quite a few years. And so what I think we've seen is this going more mainstream as more people got involved into gaming, and as the it becomes a more and more popular media and channel. The visibility of the people, you know, streaming it, etc., has increased dramatically. But the streaming model, I mean, think about Twitch, right? They've been there for quite a while now. You know, their business is built just on that. So I think it's for us. If you think about the evolution of gaming over the last 20 years, it didn't happen suddenly, and Fortnite didn't happen suddenly, right? It's 20 years of doing games, learning what the users want, what works, what doesn't work. It's 20 years of iteration. It's not an overnight success type of thing, and it is not as planned. It's not, I would say, planned in a way that that we know all the answers ahead. It's an iterative process mostly.
So let's move away from gaming. Let's talk about the development side, especially, you know, you look after Southeast Asia and India. How important are these two markets in the development of, you know, gaming within Epic Games itself for the entire company?
So I think, you know, the industry, both in India and Southeast Asia, is fairly new in development. I mean, there's been shops that have been there for a little bit longer, but it's really booming right now. The market has been very focused on mobile. Both in Southeast Asia and in India, which means that the developer focused on developing a lot of you know, mobile game initially for their market. There are a few shops, and particularly there's a very interesting pool of talent and of people who've been doing Unreal games in KL for quite a while. You know, thinking about companies like Streamline Studio, Fly Studio, Passion Republic, Ammobox. There's a real little, you know, Metronomix. There's a real little pool of Unreal talent actually around KL, and you know, which I'm really happy to work with. But overall, there's been a lot of focus on mobile, and traditionally, until recently, Unreal was not really focused on mobile. So you have a good set of development capabilities around the region, and we're just working now on supporting them to learn and take on board Unreal and multiplayer, et cetera, et cetera.
That you know, in, I guess, reliance of mobile is really apparent here in Southeast Asia and even in India. And I guess in that way, you've seen, you know, I've personally have seen Epic Games moving into that direction as well, where trying to cater more mobile gamers in terms of the gaming sector evolving, because the mobile world is really taking up a storm here in this part of the region. Do you foresee this as a shift, or do you think, you know, the traditional hardcore gamers and you know, development in that space, the PC world and consoles, are still as important, you know, as compared to, you know, the surge that mobile is having?
I mean, mobile has been surging for, you know, since the late 2000s, after the smartphone became popular. I mean, in some market, actually earlier than that, in Japan, you know, mobile was very big, even when there was no smartphone. But yeah, it's taken off, and it represents, I think, close to half of the worldwide business right now. And yes, I mean, you know, we've traditionally Unreal and Epic have been more focused on PC and console games, you know, with the phones becoming more and more performant, and especially the big progress in GPU and the improved bandwidth, you know, and reduced latency, has allowed us to move towards mobile more comfortably. I mean, we've always been looking at enabling the best gaming experience. You know, we've been chasing photorealism for a while. We want high quality gaming. That's always what Epic has been known for, and that's always what we want to continue to be known for. And so, it's more in my perception is actually more the mobile that's catching up with us, in the sense that they've been, you know, producing devices that have more and more capabilities at a better and better price. And so at some point, it becomes possible for us to give us a great experience, not the same experience than on console, but a great experience for the same game on those different devices.
We'll take a quick break. I'm speaking to Quentin States-Polley of Epic Games, so stick around. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Building Future Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, and with me today, continuing our discussion on the gaming sector, is Quentin States-Polley of Epic Games. Quentin, early on, you talked about how the film industry is utilizing gaming technologies. Are you seeing the same kind of gaming technology adoption for other than gaming use here in this part of the region as well?
Yes, very much, very much. And, you know, in the film industry, what people are doing is what we call virtual production. So you can fundamentally build movie sets using game engine. So you recreate an environment exactly like you would create a world in a game. You can actually create your film world in there, right? And in the past, you had to make a lot of compromise on the quality to put it in games in terms of the visual fidelity. You had to make a lot of compromise. And so that wasn't something that the film industry, which goes 4K or 8K on gigantic screen, was willing and should have been doing, right? They need that high fidelity of images, but as the GPU, not even in mobile, but the GPU more, you know, the graphic processor processing unit for computers have evolved and become more and more sophisticated and more powerful, we've been able to make the engine use higher and higher and higher resolution assets for games. And at some point, the movie studios are starting to realize this is going to be usable for us also to make movie. And the advantage of that is that if you look at the pipeline, the way movies are being made today, it's a very linear process, right? At the beginning of making the movie, the director will work and scout the location and prepare the set and do the storyboarding, etc. And then they will go for the shooting, and then they will go and correct that shooting and then put special effect, etc. But so it's a very linear process, and it's very hard for everybody that's involved in the process to actually see what's the end vision and collaborate together to create that thing. It's very sequential, and you can't see the result at any point. What you can do with a real-time environment is that you can start simulating, and what we call that pre-visualization. You can actually, instead of doing a storyboard, you can actually simulate in a game engine every shot you're going to be taking in the movie. And then you can shoot that. Now with the technology we have and what you've seen, for instance, in Mandalorian, when you shoot it, you can create that virtual environment around you using very large LED screen that's around and project that environment. And so it's like you shooting on location, except it's a film of the location that's put on those very big LED screen. And so at that point, that means you can also, in camera, using the game engine, view your characters that you're filming on the set. At the round, you have the background, but you can also feed the special effect that you would have done only in post-production. And so you can actually, while the director is shooting on stage, he can actually see something that's pretty close to the end picture. Now, that changed the whole creative process. That means at any point, they can change the lighting. They can move props that are digital props that create that environment. They can basically modify the shot during the whole process. That gives a lot of flexibility. That increases the way the way people collaborate in the creative process, and that can give really, really exciting results. And so it's really, real time rendering when it's done at the right level in a movie like this can really totally change the creative process and the way movies are being made. And so that's really exciting. Now, obviously, with the COVID situation, we had a lot of traction about, virtual production before. But obviously, with the COVID situation, it becomes very difficult to go on stage, become even more difficult to go and shoot on location. And so a lot of people in the industry have accelerated adoption and are really running to see how can we, quickly enable the teams and create stages which are virtual sets, etc. So we've seen a lot of movement in movie making, but also in broadcast in terms of how this come all together.
And with that, I guess, it's also important to have new talents that are able to deliver.
That's right.
Kind of new. So how are you supporting, the talent development in this part of the region, Southeast Asia? Because, as you mentioned, there are a few companies that have been very familiar with Unreal, but more in the gaming sense. Are you doing anything to support them further or even support new generation of talents?
Yeah, and that's exactly why I joined the team, is to really build the support for all the great, creators that are using our technology. And so we've got multiple ways to support them. First, we have, directly we can run classes. So we've got trainers and partners who have trainers, and we train teams to get them up to speed with the tech for the different use, right? So we're going to train some people in virtual production. We're going to train some other people in gaming. Some other people may want to use this for, car manufacturing or for architecture. All of those are different training. So we can do those individual training. We have also an education team globally that produce a lot of content. So there's on our Unreal.com website, UnrealEngine.com website, you have a whole section on education where we have, close to 100 one-hour courseware that, self-driven courseware that people can access anytime they want with tests and badging when they succeed the test at the end. We also have education program to work with universities and training centers where we train their trainers and help them build their curriculum and support them in building their training capacity. So it's still very early. We have a lot of material globally. still a bit early in the region. We just started, and we are assembling the team, and we are signing up the partners and training them. But the intention is definitely to increase the number of trained users and increase the diversity of industries in which they can work.
If you look ahead with how COVID-19 has shaped our behavior, we're a lot more comfortable now with social meetings, and I guess even under other industries are also more comfortable using gaming engines. What is your prediction that or your direction that you're looking for within Southeast Asia and India in terms of if there is a company here in Malaysia building a new game, what sort of elements that you think would be important to incorporate, or even just outside of the gaming sector, what kind of strategies that's important to, embed as, we move further ahead in our, digital world?
Well, I think, I think if you think about the long term, and again, it's very hard, and it's a bad game to try to predict. But what we hope for is to create, the beginning of those immersive environments where people can collaborate. So I think a very important part is the social connection of anything, and we believe into on a strong social network. Even though we disagree that the way to monetize this social network should be to monetize the participants' private data, but we still think any big success depends on something being supported by a strong social network. The other thing we think that's very important is that, like the internet, the entire metaverse or next phase of the internet is supported by open standards, right, and supported by open source technologies. And that's why we've put, you can actually, pick up Unreal Engine on GitHub for free, and you don't need to ask us to use it. You have, it's open source. You can build your things on it. The code is there, etc. And we fight very strongly for open standards at all the different layers. So open standard for social network, open standard for cloud, how to be able to move from one cloud to the next, or to use a single standard to work on all the clouds. So we believe that it's important that those things happen, because that's what will allow a thriving ecosystem to grow, and business to develop, right? Without somebody capturing all the value, like you've seen in some of the, with some of the large, technology companies that are leader in some segment and are trying to actually lock those standard and those technologies, so they can monetize them. So we really believe in those few things. First, no selling of the data, and respect of privacy and consumer data, open standards and open source. And we think that with those things and a few others, we can then look forward to having an immersive internet and interactive and real-time internet that will give birth to many, many new businesses, and many different ways to create and interact together.
Especially with 5G now is just around the corner.
That's right. So you're gonna have the capabilities to really create those 3D immersive environment, and have that reactivity that you may have a challenge to have in some of those networks today.
Quentin, it's been a pleasure and an honor to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time, Jeff, and thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to listening to your shows and interacting again soon.
That was Quentin States-Polay, the General Manager for India and Southeast Asia for Epic Games, talking about the gaming sector and the usage of gaming tech beyond gaming. My name is Jeff Sandu, and if you've missed any parts of this conversation, you can download the podcast now available on the website or get the BFM app. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Bright, formidable media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Tech Talk, and with me today, continuing our discussion on the gaming sector, is Quentin States-Bollet of Epic Games. Quentin, early on, you talked about how the film industry is utilizing gaming technologies. Are you seeing the same kind of gaming technology adoption for other than gaming use here in this part of the region as well?
Yes, very much, very much. In the film industry, what people are doing is what we call virtual production. So you can fundamentally build movie sets using game engine. So you recreate an environment exactly like you would create a world in a game. You can actually create your film world in there, right? And in the past, you had to make a lot of compromise on the quality to put it in games in terms of the visual fidelity. You had to make a lot of compromise. And so that wasn't something that the film industry, which goes 4K or 8K on gigantic screen, was willing and should have been doing, right? They need that high fidelity of images. But as the GPU, not even in mobile, but the GPU more, the graphic processor processing unit for computers have evolved and become more and more sophisticated and more powerful, we've been able to make the engine use higher and higher and higher resolution assets for games. And at some point, the movie studios are starting to realize this is going to be usable for us also to make movie. And the advantage of that is that if you look at the pipeline, the way movies are being made today, it's a very linear process, right? At the beginning of making the movie, the director will work and scout the location and prepare the set and do the storyboarding, etc. And then they will go for the shooting, and then they will go and correct that shooting and then put special effect, etc. But so it's a very linear process, and it's very hard for everybody that's involved in the process to actually see what's the end vision and collaborate together to create that thing. It's very sequential, and you can't see the result at any point. What you can do with a real-time environment is that you can start simulating, and what we call that pre-visualization. You can actually, instead of doing a storyboard, you can actually simulate in a game engine every shot you're going to be taking in the movie. And then you can shoot that. Now is the technology we have, and what you've seen, for instance, in Mandalorian. When you shoot it, you can create that virtual environment around you using very large LED screen that's around and project that environment. And so it's like you shooting on location, except it's a film of the location that's put on those very big LED screen. And so at that point, that means you can also, in camera, using the game engine, view your characters that you're filming on the set. At the round, you have the background, but you can also feed the special effect that you would have done only in post-production. And so you can actually, while the director is shooting on stage, he can actually see something that's pretty close to the end picture. Now, that changed the whole creative process. That means at any point, they can change the lighting. They can move props that are digital props that create that environment. They can basically modify the shot during the whole process. That gives a lot of flexibility. That increases the way collaborate in the creative process, and that can give really, really exciting results. And so it's really, real time rendering when it's done at the right level in a movie like this can really totally change the creative process and the way movies are being made. And so that's really exciting. Now, obviously, with the COVID situation, we had a lot of traction about, you know, virtual production before. But obviously, with the COVID situation, it becomes very difficult to go on stage, become even more difficult to go and shoot on location. And so a lot of people in the industry have accelerated adoption and are really running to see how can we, you know, quickly enable the teams and you know, create stages which are virtual sets, etc., etc. So we've seen a lot of movement in movie making, but also in broadcast in terms of how this come all together.
And with that, I guess, you know, it's also important to have new talents that can are able to deliver.
That's right.
You know, kind of new. So how are you supporting you know, the talent development in this part of the region, you know, Southeast Asia? Because, you know, as you mentioned, there are a few companies that have been very familiar with Unreal, but more in the gaming sense. Are you doing anything to support them further or even support new generation of talents?
Yeah, and that's exactly why I joined the team, is to really build the support for all the great, you know, creators that are using our technology. And so we've got multiple ways to support them. First, we have, you know, directly we can run classes. So we've got trainers and partners who have trainers, and we train teams to get them up to speed with the tech for the different use, right? So we're going to train some people in virtual production. We're going to train some other people in gaming. Some other people may want to use this for, you know, car manufacturing or for architecture. All of those are different training. So we can do those individual training. We have also an education team globally that produce a lot of content. So there's on our Unreal.com website, UnrealEngine.com website, you have a whole section on education where we have, you know, close to 100 one-hour courseware that, you know, self-driven courseware that people can access anytime they want with tests and badging when they succeed the test at the end. We also have education program to work with universities and training centers where we train their trainers and help them build their curriculum and support them in you know, building their training capacity. So it's still very early. We have a lot of material globally, still a bit early in the region. We just started, and we are assembling the team, and we are signing up the partners and training them. But the intention is definitely to, you know, to increase the number of trained users and increase the diversity of industries in which they can work.
If you look ahead with how COVID-19 has shaped our behavior, we're a lot more comfortable now with social meetings, and, you know, I guess even other industries are also more comfortable using gaming engines. What is your prediction that, you know, or your direction that you're looking for within Southeast Asia and India in terms of, you know, if there's a company here in Malaysia building a new game, what sort of elements that you think would be important to incorporate, or even, you know, just outside of the gaming sector, what kind of strategies that's important to, you know, embed as, you know, we move further ahead in our, you know, digital world?
Well, I think, you know, I think if you think about the long term, and again, you know, it's very hard, and it's a bad game to try to predict. But what we hope for is to create, you know, the beginning of those immersive environment where people can collaborate. So I think a very important part is the social connection of anything, and we believe into, you know, on a strong social network. Even though we disagree that the way to monetize this social network should be to monetize the participants' private data, but we still think, you know, any big success depends on something being supported by a strong social network. The other thing we think that's very important is that, like the internet, the entire metaverse or next phase of the internet is supported by open standard, right? And supported by open source technologies. And that's why we've put, you can actually pick up Unreal Engine on GitHub for free, and you don't need to ask us to use it. It's open source. You can build your things on it. The code is there, etc. And we fight very strongly for open standards at all the different layers. So open standard for social network, open standard for cloud, how to be able to move from one cloud to the next, or to use a single standard to work on all the clouds. So we believe that it's important that those things happen, because that's what will allow a thriving ecosystem to grow, and business to develop, right? Without somebody capturing all the value, like you've seen in some of the with some of the large technology companies that are leader in some segment and are trying to actually lock those standard and those technologies so they can monetize them. So we really believe in those few things. First, no selling of the data, and respect of privacy and consumer data, open standards and open source. And we think that with those things and a few others, we can then look forward to having an immersive internet and interactive and real-time internet that will give birth to many, many new businesses and many different ways to create and interact together.
Especially with 5G now is just around the corner.
That's right. So you're gonna have the capabilities to really create those 3D immersive environment, and have that reactivity that you may have a challenge to have in some of those networks today.
Quentin, it's been a pleasure and an honor to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time, Jeff, and thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to listening to your shows and interacting again soon.
That was Quentin States-Pole, the General Manager for India and Southeast Asia for Epic Games, talking about the gaming sector and the usage of gaming tech beyond gaming. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and if you've missed any parts of this conversation, you can download the podcast now, available on the website, or get the BFM app. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.